Everything that God does on the earth today, He does it by His Word and His Spirit. In the Pastor William Evans Podcast, your host, Pastor William Evans, takes you through the importance of the Word of God in your everyday life. Whether you're experiencing the lowest valley or the highest mountain, the Word of God is essential. As we depend on it and read it daily, we form an unbreakable bond with God. We understand His will, what He wants us to do, and our purpose in life. Without further delay, here's another uplifting episode of the Pastor William Evans Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. Let us pause a moment to invite our Father in heaven into this place to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ for His sacrifice and being our Savior, and the Holy Spirit for empowering all of us, especially for helping us to live a life that's pleasing in God's sight. I also would like to thank you for your presence here, as well as those that will partake of this service through various means. We will shortly come to the end of our discussion of developing a relationship with God. But before we do so, however, let us review one final time the elements that underlie this series of studies. We identified four elements: communication, fellowship, sacrifice, and stewardship. As you are well aware, if you've been following this series, communication was the first thing we discussed. We discovered that it was verbal as well as nonverbal. And we also found out that it is vital to all relationships. Amen? Then we move to the second element, which is fellowship. We were introduced to a word, koinonium, which is a Greek term, which refers to community, communion, partnership, sharing, and intimacy. Now, we know that in fellowship, it's not about just coming together to have brunch, come together to hold a service at church, or have some type of lunching at a job or whatever. We know that it's more than that. Then we move to the topic of sacrifice. We discovered that sacrifice, through the Hebrew word, thasia, which meant that something that we are offering that is acceptable to God because it was offered on His terms. Amen? We were able to give Him what He asked for, not what we wanted to give. Now, we will conclude this series of developing a relationship with God as we delve into the last element of stewardship. The term stewardship is defined as a careful and responsible management of something entrusted to our care. In other words, something that has been entrusted to you that really doesn't belong to you, but you are found trustworthy enough to be given it. I want you to know that many of us believe that our bodies belong to us. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible talks about that you are not your own, that you've been bought with a price. Amen? That price is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. God redeemed us from sin through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our body does not belong to us. It belongs to Him. But He's entrusted us to take care of it, to eat right, to exercise, to diet, to do the things that are necessary that we can live productive lives. Amen?
You're listening to the Pastor William Evans Podcast. We'll be right back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Imagine a place where individuals from all walks of life come together to be unified, to serve God, to serve others, and to become an example of the best of humanity. The Church of Unity in Christ strives to become that place Our church is about providing spiritual guidance, a supportive community, and a place to belong. Our goal is to accept people as God accepted us, from all backgrounds, into one community, where everyone can find their true self and purpose in the family of God. We believe that coming together, we can make a positive difference in the world and create a brighter future for all. We are the Church of Unity in Christ, one in the anointing of Jesus. Amen. I want you to understand that every human being is a steward. Everyone has been entrusted with life and all that entails. But what we must understand is that we must be obedient in the administration of everything that's under our control, whether it's our bodies, our finances, our homes, our children, everything that God has entrusted us, our thoughts, everything about us, God has entrusted to us. Yes, we have a free will, but guess what? That doesn't give us the right to go out and say, okay, I think I want to do this, and we know that what we're about to do is not right. Does that give us the right to go out and do it? No. That's why there are laws in place. Amen? All of us must understand this simple thing, something I believe that we at times overlook. But I want to put emphasis on it this morning, this evening, today. Amen? That regardless of age, gender, ethnicity, race, gender, any of those things, all human beings have 24 hours in each day, 7 days in each week, 52 weeks in each year. Amen? And we have a choice on how we use that time. We can simply go out and do mundane and pointless things and not be productive in that time that is allocated to us. Or we can sit back and say, you know what? I'm going to use this time to dream, to plan, to try to accomplish some things. Those are the things that we have to do as stewards. Sit down and say, you know what? I have the time to do these different things. I'm not going to squander that time. I'm going to be productive in that time, because I'm a good steward to the Lord. In order for this to happen, we must be able to address something that we must not take for granted. All of us, God has given talents. This is a key word in everything we do. I want you to understand that talents are something that many will see as the capacity of achievements, success, ability in varied fields. Through the annals of history, the word talent has denoted a special or innate skill, aptitude, or ability. But I want you to understand, in the ancient times, the root word for talents was equated to money. They would use talents, which was money they would use to weigh something, and whatever that value of that talent was, that's how much buying power you had. Amen? And it was used for goods as well as services. Now, I want you all to think about that for a moment. I want you to understand the power of this, because if someone is eloquent in speech, normally they're able to go places and do what? Make money to do what? To speak. If you're talented in, have the talent to catch a football or run fast, what normally happens? You're paid to do what? To catch that ball or to run fast, right? If you have the talent to be a great actor, singer, whatever it may be, see, God has given all of us. And then I want you to understand something. Being a school teacher, a doctor, lawyer, whatever, it's going to take skills to do that. Am I wrong? Amen? But God has given every human being the opportunity to do something for their lives to be productive. So when you see people standing on the corner, when you see people under the bridge or under the freeway or doing different things, they still got talents. Amen? But life may have threw him a curveball, or if they've got addiction to some type of alcohol or drugs, or someone, they lost someone in their family, and it was so hard for them to bear that they couldn't bounce back from it. But it did not take away their talents, because they have the ability to get up and do what? Be productive citizens. Amen? Amen. But how do we help these individuals that are outside of the scope of understanding what their talents are? Well, we got to bring them into a relationship with God. Amen? And once they began to develop their relationship with God, God began to reveal not only to them but to us those talents that he has given all of us to be the best that he ordained us to be. Amen. Amen. This lesson will give us insight into how to accomplish this. There are four principles that go into stewardship: recognition of ownership, knowledge of responsibility, understanding of accountability, and application of reward. These principles, if followed, will go into the desired results. Then let's examine the recognition of ownership. We begin with recognition, which is the act of knowing, acknowledging, and identifying something or someone when you see it. Then there's ownership. This is the legal right to possession of something. It can be tangible or intangible. Tangible, like personal property. Intangible, like intellectual property. Amen. What I mean by that is this. If I have an idea to go out and try to invent something, to put something on the market, I have to get intellectual property, because someone else will come in and say, you know what, it's my idea. People don't understand this, and I'm going to say this real good. Thomas Edison, the light bulb, and different people that were out doing different things to try to put their ideas out there on the market and to get paid for it. They, what they had to do, they had to get patents on it, right? But they weren't the only ones that were trying to discover the light. They weren't the only one that's trying to discover the cure for cancer or whatever. I don't know if you remember this or not, but when COVID hit the world, all these drug agencies was doing what? Trying to come up with a vaccine, right? Yeah, all they did was people that were trying to find a way to curtail COVID. Moderna came out with something, right? All these different people, but guess what they had to do? They had to get a patent on it. But once they got that patent, guess what happens? Each time you bought that product, who's going to get paid for it? They are. Amen? What am I saying? I'm saying that your thoughts, your ideas have value. I'm saying that you have value. But if you're not a good steward of what God has entrusted you with, guess what you're doing? You're throwing away your value. You're throwing away your talents. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what others say about you. It's about what you believe. And I'm telling you, if you develop a relationship with God, you will discover your talents, and those talents can take you far greater than anything else in this world. Amen? We've had people that come, and I'm not picking on any part of the country, but you've had people that come from the deep south in the midst of slavery to become great orators. Frederick Douglass. Amen? You've seen people that come out of tremendous circumstances through the Holocaust and things of that nature. Guess what? God helped to be some of the greatest writers and musicians and so on in the world. Because God has entrusted all of us with something that will help us become exactly what he ordained us to be. So we must develop a relationship with him in order for us to understand the depths of who we truly are in him. Amen. Amen. Next, we have knowledge of responsibility. Knowledge defined as facts, information, and skills acquired through experience and education. Then there's responsibility, which is doing the things we are supposed to be doing and accepting the results, whether they are positive or negative. Amen. Now we look to understanding of accountability. Understanding, which is the power to grasp the nature, significance, or explanation of something. In other words, when you get understanding, you understand the core of what's going on. A lot of people say, well, I understand the lesson. I understand this. When you go home and you do your homework and you really come to understanding of what you're being taught, what you're studying, right? When you give it a test, what happens? You know it'll make a good grade, right? Why? Because you understand the information. Why is this important? It's important that you understand who you are. You understand your relationship with God and what it entails and how deep it goes to make you the best human being that God intended you to be. Amen. Then there is accountability, which is owning up to your actions, whatever they may be. Look, if you're wrong, say you're wrong. If you're right, okay, that's fine. But see, a lot of people don't understand what accountability truly means. Accountability means that, oh, I got this job, I got this car, I got this wife, this husband, I got these kids, I got this house, I got all them other things like that, right? Everything going well, right? But then I go out and I'll mismanage the money. Or I'm driving my vehicle without changing the oil or checking the tire, whatever. And something happens. And I say, oh, it was this, it was that. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm accountable for this. Why? Because that's my responsibility to do what? To check all those things. To make sure all that stuff is right. Amen? Amen. Finally, we look into the application of reward. Application is which is something that we put in action or operation for a special use or purpose. I'm not talking about an application you fill out for a job. I'm talking about when you apply something to get a certain response or a certain purpose to have that come to fruition. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about application. Amen? And when we talk about reward, this is something given in exchange for a useful idea, good behavior, excellent work, etc. Who does not want to be praised for doing well? One of the things that I understand is this. You have to be able to balance the things you do in people's lives. If I'm on a job, if I'm in the home, or I'm in the community, and all I hear is the negative, all I hear is, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. You didn't do that, right? And never hear, you did a good job. Or I seen you do this. Man, that was great. You understand what I'm saying? You got to balance it. Because if someone hears all the time negativity, what do they believe? They're never good enough. They'll never be good enough. Amen? Well, when I start catching people that's talking like that to me, I cut it off. Amen? Y'all remember that series we did, Overcoming Distraction, about selective hearing? I got selective hearing. When it's negative, I'm cutting it off. I don't want to hear that. Amen? If you're not telling me something that's going to help me get better, I don't want to hear it. Now, when you're talking negativity, that has nothing to do with when you're being criticized for something that's going to make you better. Right? Criticism is not all bad. It depends on how it's being applied. Amen? Amen. As we have looked at the principle briefly through the secular, I would implore you to be open-minded now to the biblical. At Genesis 1 and 1, it talks about something that we just spoke about in these four principles about recognition of ownership. In Genesis 1 and 1, it states, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Not the Big Bang Theory, right? Not artificial intelligence. It said God created the heavens and earth. Amen? Then in Psalms 24 and 1, it says, Psalms 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness of it, the world, and those that dwell in it. Did y'all see that? Think about that. The earth is the Lord's. In other words, I'm showing that the earth belongs to who? God. I'm telling you in Genesis 1 and 1 that God is the creator of the heavens and earth. But what I love about Psalms 24, what it says that the world, huh? And those who dwell in it, everything belongs to God. Amen? So, whatever we have, what does it belong to? Who does it belong to? It belongs to Him. We're just being entrusted with it. Amen? Amen. These are examples of recognition of ownership. They tell us that everything belongs to God. And so we must acknowledge that. When God bless you to get up every morning, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning because you gave me life this morning. Amen? When you're able to walk from your house to your car, Lord, thank you. Why? Because God gave you the activity of your limb this morning. Amen? When you make it home in the afternoon from your job or from wherever you're coming from, Lord, thank you. Why? Because God is the one that protected you on your way to and fro. Amen? Amen. Now we move to the biblical knowledge of responsibility. We know that knowledge, when we speak of knowledge in the Bible, we know it refers to an example of truth and commands that God wants us to know, believe, and take heed to. I want you to understand that you remember the story of Adam and Eve and how God created everything. We just spoke of that. And how He put the man in the midst of the garden. We know that man was entrusted with everything. Right? God told him that he will have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing upon the earth, right? But I'm telling you not to touch of that tree that's in the midst of the garden. I give you everything else. You want to steward over that. But you also have a responsibility to be accountable for your action. Don't mess with that tree. Right? That was the truth. Right? That was a fact. He had knowledge. She had knowledge of what God had already said. Amen? But here comes the serpent telling them that, God lying to you. God trying to mislead you. God trying to hold something back from you. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. God's telling you to praise Him, to glorify and magnify His name. God is telling you to live your life pleasing in His sight. But the devil telling you, being saved and going to church and living for God is not fun. It's boring. Look at the people out there going out to the club. Look at these people going out there doing it. Look how much fun they're having in all this. And all of a sudden, now you're thinking that it don't take all that. I can go out and have fun and still serve God. Is that the truth? Amen? No, it's not the truth. You can't go out and mingle with the world and then try to be part of God because it don't work that way. The Bible said that there is no communion with light and darkness. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be brief about this and we're going to move on. I know this for a fact as a man of God. If I would go out and somebody see me in a club, if somebody see me out eating in a restaurant with another woman besides my wife, or if I'm out here smoking cigarettes, doing other things, how do they look at me? Totally different, don't they? Amen? When you go out and you talk to people about coming to church and why you don't go to church, you know the first thing they say? That people in the church are hypocrites because they're doing the same thing that we're doing. Amen?
So we have to be different. We're to show people that we're different. When Adam and Eve got out there and got to the point where they wanted to partake of that tree that God told them not to, what they were saying was they wanted to be a part of something that they didn't have no reason to be a part of. Amen? We talk about this in the series of sacrifice. Well, they didn't want to sacrifice. All you had to give up was what? That tree in the midst of the garden. Right? And everything else is fine. As a steward, you're going to have to be able to understand that, you know what? I can't have this dress right now because my money is not where it needs to be for that dress. I can't buy this car right now because my money is not where it needs to be for that car. Amen? I can't live in this certain house right now because my money is not where it needs to be for this house. But you're steady managing your money. You're steady managing your time and all the different things to make sure that when the time comes, you're able to apprehend those things. In developing a relationship with God, you have to manage everything. You can't ever get too busy for your wife, too busy for your husband. You can't get too busy for your children. Amen? You got to manage that time. As stated earlier, everybody has 24 hours in a day. 7 days in a week. 52 weeks in a year. Amen? Amen? But I want to preach this, but I'm going to leave it alone. Amen? I want you to understand the importance of what I'm telling you. You are a steward over everything that God has entrusted to you. But you got to know that. That's where knowledge comes from. Knowledge of your responsibility. They had knowledge of their responsibility, didn't they? Because God told them not to mess with that tree. Amen? That was a fact. That was the truth. They found out after they had committed the act. They realized they were naked. They started hiding themselves from God. In other words, they didn't want to take what? Responsibility for their action. But they knew they had did wrong, didn't they? They didn't tell about their action. Amen? But I want you to know how Jesus summed this up in John 8:31-32. St. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. This is what he said. To those Jews which believe on him, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Y'all see that? When you know something as a fact, as the truth, what do? You follow it. No matter what it looks like, you stay with it because you know that it's the truth. You know that that's what it is. And it's going to bring the desired results. Amen? As we addressed responsibility, I know y'all remember when God told Adam and Eve in the garden that he wanted them to dress and keep it. That's what he told Adam, dress and keep it. Right? To dress means he wanted them to work it, to cultivate it, to till it, to make it, to keep it going. When he said to keep it, he wanted to protect it, to make sure nothing happens to it, because he was responsible for it. Let me tell y'all something. I always want to hear me real good on this. No relationship is going to start perfect, or will it ever become perfect. You know why? Because every day of your life, you got to work it. You got to cultivate it. You got to make it better. Amen? And then you got to protect it. Why? Because you got to know there are going to be outside resources or outside influences trying to do what? Mess with your relationship. Right? So you got to do those things. What's the same thing with everything else? If I'm out here and I'm eating steaks every week and baked potatoes, and I'm not knocking those steaks because they're good. I eat them. But you got to eat certain things in moderation. Amen? Man, science teaches you that too much of certain things is not good for you. Nobody wake up in the morning with sugar diabetes and high blood pressure and all that. Man, some of this stuff is hereditary, but some stuff you can manage. Am I wrong? Amen? Amen. We know that once this is done, you're able to see things from a different perspective when you understand the responsibility that has been given to you. Jesus summed this up in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 15. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 15, where he says that for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his way. In other words, God entrusted us with the earth, with all the resources of it. God entrusted us with our bodies, our minds, everything. He entrusted it with us. And guess what he did? He pulled back to heaven, and he's watching everything. He's a great steward, watching over everything, making sure everything's like it's supposed to be. But guess what? If we go out and begin to disobey what God says and do what we want to do, don't we have to deal with the consequences of that? Because we're accountable. The Bible teaches us in Galatians 6 that whatever man sow, that shall he also reap. That's not God trying to put stuff on you or make you live. No, you're calling those things to happen in your life because that's what you're doing. Amen? Amen. Why this should not? Now we move to understanding of accountability. It's when you gain insight into something. Now I want you to understand, I'm going to use, for example, putting together a jigsaw puzzle. It doesn't make any sense until you put it all together, doesn't it? The same holds true with the Word of God. When you begin to study the Word of God, man, it seems like, oh, it's hard, or, man, I don't understand this. You got to stay with it and start putting what? The pieces of the Word of God together until it starts making sense to you, right? The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, 130, he said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It gives understanding into the simple. In other words, I go in, not that I know everything, I go in as a humble servant. Lord, teach me. And God said, when you stay humble like that, I can open your mind to what the Word of God is truly saying, to help you to understand how you need to navigate this Word. Amen? Well, when we do that, it will not only change our insight, but it's going to change how we respond outwardly. This is evident in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27, where it says, he that had knowledge spare his words. In other words, you're slow to speak, but swift to hear. You're not speaking too fast. You're not out there not listening to everything that's going on and use your word in preciseness. Amen? Then it says, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. When you understand that you're not in control of everything, that God is, because it belongs to him. You've been entrusted to it. And you just do your part. God takes care of the rest of it. Amen? Accountability. Our accountability is everywhere in our life. We see it in court cases, political campaigns, interaction with our family, friends, co-workers. As mentioned earlier, God is the owner of everything and has given us the talents and knowledge what he has entrusted us with. But it's up to us to do what we're supposed to be doing. This is evident in Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 44. And the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise manager, whom his master was sent over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say unto you, he will set him over all his possession. In other words, if I didn't trust you with an apartment to manage it right, guess what? I can entrust you with a house. If I can entrust you with a hoopty, I can entrust you with a brand new car. Amen. If I can trust you with one child, I'm going to trust you with two, three, four, whatever. Amen. In other words, what God is saying is that the small things that you're doing is going to help you be able to handle the bigger things. But you're going to learn to do the small things first. Amen. Amen. Finally, we move to the application of reward. This is where we put the truth that is discovered through observation and interpretation to use in our lives with the goal of transformation. As stated earlier, in biblical responsibility, where we all are given talents according to Matthew 25, 14 to 15, we move now to Matthew 25, 22 to 23. Matthew 25, 22 to 23. And he also, who had the two talents. Now, y'all remember, he gave three people different measures of talents. One had five. Bible said the man made 10. The one that had the two, he went out and made 4. The one that had one, he put that and hid it in the ground. Didn't do anything with it. The master was displeased with him. Told him he was an unfaithful servant because he knew that he was supposed to do something with that talent that he had given him. Amen. But in this passage, it talks about the one that he gave the two talents. He said, Master, you delivered me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been favored over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. In other words, God wants to entrust you with more than what you have right now. But what you have to do, you're gonna show him that you're what? Trustworthy enough for more. Amen? Amen. Just as man was put in the garden to dress and keep it, we are to produce in whatever God has entrusted us. As we close, let's not forget the four elements of developing a relationship with God: communication, fellowship, sacrifice, and stewardship. These elements give us an opportunity to choose a path to establish a productive relationship with God, as well as with others. This series will help us all to become well-rounded in every relationship in our lives, because they would be developed on the foundation of our relationship with God. Amen. My hope is that you would embrace this series and become an example of what developing a relationship with God looks like. As we close today and really understand that God wants a relationship with us, he wants us to know him as the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. But it's up to us to take the first step. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We appreciate you, Father God, for your word. We thank you for everything you're doing in our lives and all you have yet to do, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you will lead and guide us by your Spirit and help us, Father God, to embrace this series, but also, Father God, to establish, Father God, or continue to work on our relationship with you, Lord, as well as with others. These prayers I pray in Jesus' name. Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, let it rest, rule, and abide in us henceforth and forever. Let every child God sanctify by saying, amen and amen.
You just listened to another episode of the Pastor William Evans Podcast. Pastor William Evans Podcast was recorded live in the studio with final editing before upload. Subscribe today to the Pastor William Evans Podcast or visit tcuic.org for more godly, inspired content. Don't miss the next episode, and God bless.